You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you an exciting episode number 87. So, got quite a bit of an episode for y'all this week. Some news, but of particular note this week will be the game review. TV show review, or actually two TV show reviews for a specific episodes. And then the usual other stuff, and that'll be it for this week's episode. So I won't stall for too much longer. I'll jump right into this week's theme, which is end-to-end. And this is generally the beginning and end points to a product or service. It's a theory that embraces eliminating as many steps and layers as possible to optimize efficiency and performance in any process. So basically, rather than doing something as fast as possible and taking less time or spending too much time to do things perfectly as much as possible, you want to have an efficient process that will reduce the number of steps but produce the best quality product or service that you can create. This also helps to ensure that the completion of a work is done or can be accomplished in a specific or specified amount of time or time frame. So if you're given 2 weeks to complete the project, that you can complete that project in that 2 week time frame, rather than giving too much time for the project and having wasted time, and or giving too little time and having an incomplete bit of information and delaying the timeline. So with that being said, I'll jump right into this week's tech news. So to start it off, the Google app got updates to now have shortcuts to various activities. So when you open up your Google app on compatible newer devices, you'll have shortcuts to a lot more activities like weather, sunrise, sunset, ATMs, restaurants, sports, and things like that. So you'll see different categories and different shortcuts to those activities. So basically, it'll do those related web searches, but it makes it that much easier to get to those items so you don't have to manually type it in. And then for things that require your location, will allow you to have those nearby results. Google News and Weather got an update this week to now have a more headlines feature. So let's say you scroll through your articles, you've read them all, and you want to read more, you'll see a nice little button at the top for more headlines so you can get access to more headlines. And finally, the Android O developer preview rolled out this week for Android devices, or Google's Android-specific devices. It brings features like more background limits for apps, notification channels to have app-defined categories for better grouping, more autofill APIs, picture-in-picture mode for handsets and tablets, support for fonts in XML, adaptive icons with animations on interaction, a wider gamut support, more audio codecs, keyboard navigation, A-Audio support, which is an advanced audio API, and that's, I don't think that's exactly what it was called, but something along those lines. Enhancements to the multi-process web view and more Java 8 API support. So look out for more about that in the coming weeks. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's game review, and it is Super Mario Run for Android. So as you know, a few months ago, it was released exclusively for iOS and is now available for Android. The original release date was going to be the 23rd, but they did release it a day early. But at this point, it should be available for everybody. It is available as a free and paid game. The paid part is in-app purchase. So the free version allows you to have specific or access to limited versions of all parts of the game, with the paid version giving you access to everything. So once you've installed the game, you'll be given basically an initial launch. So you get to select your country, log into your and link your Nintendo account if you have one. That part's optional. You'll agree to the EULA. You'll select a profile, the name, and picture, and then you'll be launched right into the tutorial. So basically, the game has three modes. It has a world tour where you try and collect pink, black, and purple coins in the three available courses. I think there's only one color in the free version, but you'll try and collect those coins. You also have Toad Rally, which is only available after collecting a certain amount of color coins in the World Tour. So you In this mode, you're basically playing against other people, whether it's your friends or other people playing the game. And the third mode is a kingdom builder, which you're allowed to build once you've you're allowed to add to it once you have collected enough coins and toads in the other two modes. So you do need to play the more of the other two modes in order to build your kingdom. But once you do, once you've collected your tickets or coins, you can build new things. And then the color of the toads you collect allows you to build in a specific color. So in the free mode, you get only the red toad, and you can build anything related to that, assuming you have enough coins. But once you pay for the game, you'll get other color toads. So I think it's like yellow, or I think blue, purple, and a few others, or like three others. But you can expand by purchasing the full version of the game. You get more colors there. And then in the world tour part, which I briefly mentioned, but you get three available courses in the fourth boss level. But the free version gets you all 24 courses, so you can play through all the different worlds, kind of along the lines of any other Super Mario Brothers game where you get all the different kinds of worlds. And once you finish the game or all the world tours and you've rescued Princess Peach, she becomes a playable character in the game, so you can play as her if you so choose. And then once you unlock her and the various other characters like Luigi, Toad, and Toadette, and Yoshi, you also can get the various benefits that they get, so like a slow float and things like that. I probably want to reference Super Mario Brothers 2 from Nintendo as a reference, but I didn't actually get a chance to check what special powers they get, but you do get various other characters as well. Toad Rally also gets expanded to 7 different courses rather than, I think, the one that's in the free version, and you get the different colors as well there. And then that's basically the bulk of the game, which does cost $9.99. So as far as the UI and gameplay goes, it reminded me a lot of basically Super Mario Brothers from... Or it's actually just Super Mario World from the Super Nintendo, but in a world-building mode. So you get your different levels, but you can build your own kingdom rather than having one presented to you. So... it's a decent enough game. If you are a fan of Nintendo games or Super Mario Brothers, then the $10 is definitely worth it. I'm still playing the game to get a general idea of if I want to spend that much money on the game. And to kind of see where they go with it, to see if they expand the game to add more levels or more add-ons or some things along those lines. But the world-building part isn't enough to spend the $10, and the 24 levels is... good enough as a start, but to me it's not necessarily worth the $9.99. For some people it might be, for me it's not, so something to consider there. But if they do in the future, which I by no means know or am suggesting, but if they do add more, for example, more levels in the future, then the $9.99 might be worth it, unless they start adding, you know, $1.99 or whatever price to get those additional levels, then it's something else to consider. But overall, the game for me was very fluid. It was very smooth. I like the animations. It was very reminiscent of the Super Mario Brothers games from the Nintendo and Super Nintendo time frame. So definitely worth checking out, and definitely play the free version. I guess you have to get the free version in order to get to the paid version, but definitely navigate around, see if you like it, see if it's worth your money, if it's something you're going to play. But definitely worth checking out as a Super Mario Brothers game, and it definitely does have that nostalgic feature from that era to check it out. So that's Super Mario Run, available now for Android and iOS. I think it's version 2 now for both versions, so definitely a game to play. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into some entertainment news. So to start it off, the band/rap group Gorillaz is set to release their new album called Humans with a Z in spring of 2017. They've already released a new video, which will have a title track on the album called Saturn's Bars. So I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. I'll watch this weekend or something. But there's a video to watch to build up hype for the album. And then from DC, the new Justice League trailer will be coming this weekend. At the moment, it's set to release on March 25th, 2017, as far as I know. They've already released a promo, some promo images, as well as a couple of trailers already, notably featuring Aquaman and The Flash. I think they already did also did one for Wonder Woman, but I'm not sure. I know there was a Wonder Woman trailer as well. Earlier in the week, so there's that as well. But at least if you want to see some of Aquaman and The Flash in action, then there is that. And definitely look out for the trailer this weekend. As far as what I watched the usual stuff. So Black Sails Season 4 Episode 8, The Walking Dead Season 7 Episode 14, The Other Side, and The Expanse Season 2 Episode 9, The Weeping Somnambulist. So just the usual progression of storylines there. So with that, I'll jump into the first TV show review, and then after that, I'm going to have the second TV show review, which will actually be replacing the Star Wars profile this week. So for the first show review, it's going to be Into the Badlands Season 2, Episode 1, Tiger Pushes Mountains. So we have the return of Into the Badlands, a very, I think it's on AMC, it is the martial arts TV show where we have, as a quick recap, it's not necessarily an apocalypse, but it's a postmodern world where we have barons controlling various resources and controlling their various kingdoms. So, as far as this particular episode, it takes place 6 months after the season one finale, where Sunny finds a new foe as well as a new unexpected ally, while MK learns about his gift in a mysterious place. So basically, we have Sunny in this prison kind of place, which reminded me a lot of the Star Trek prison planet where Captain Kirk, Spock, and Bones were sent. So I thought that was kind of funny. But we do also have Sunny making a new semi-questionable friend, where that guy is actually also trying to look out for himself. And while he's looking out for himself, he isn't not also very unfair. So if you help him get out, then he'll help you, kind of thing. So there is that. So I can't wait to see more of that character. And then we have a little bit more of the Ryder storyline, who is the son to the Baron that Sunny was under. And as I see him more and more, he kind of reminds me of the second cousin to Joffrey from Game of Thrones, where he has all of the planning skills and abilities, but none of the bravado. So it's kind of like he got the planning and revenge part of things, but not necessarily anything else. So it's like, he's in that mid-state where he kind of trusts everybody, but he should. And he also does look out for himself, but because he has other character issues, it kind of seems like he's in a precarious place. And then we have the continuation to the Widow storyline, but if she's going to take out all of the oil factory, then why does she need all of the rest of her clippers in this case? So that kind of bothered me while I was thinking about it after the fact. So she took a lot of them out, or they didn't really show it well. I might have to rewatch the episode, but it kind of bothered me that if she's going to take out all the people just to send a message to that lady, then why does she need anyone else to help? Why doesn't she have her clippers take out everybody, so all she has to do is go after the person she's going after? And finally, MK was sent to the Sorcerer Supreme School for training to become the One. So we actually have a place where, from my understanding, it's kind of, it reminded me a little bit of Doctor Strange, where we have a place where other people like him are being sent. So it's supposed to be a community, but not everybody has the same abilities, power levels, or they're all exactly of the same power level, but they all have different abilities and traits and characteristics. So I actually want to see more about this, or more of the training from the master of that school. So it actually seemed pretty interesting, along the lines of the master healing herself and not having the same power level as MK. So another similarity to Doctor Strange and the previous Sorcerer Supreme. So overall, it was a good episode, good starting point for the episode to bring everyone back to where everyone's at. So I can't wait to see more of the season. And it's definitely a show worth watching if you like martial art, a post-apocalyptic world, and just an alternate look at reality and society. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I will jump into this week's TV show, or second TV show review, which is Star Wars Rebels Season 3, Episode 2, Twin Suns. So this is the battle, or the episode with the fight that we've been waiting for all season for Rebels. So a summary of the episode is that, reacting to a vision of Maul, Ezra defies Hera and Kanan to travel to a remote planet in hopes of stopping the former Sith Lord from carrying out his plans. So if the title doesn't give it away, and the summary doesn't give it away, we have Darth Maul going to Tatooine, the planet that we know as the Twin Suns, in search of Jedi Master Kenobi. We have it starting out as Maul in a frustrated, weakened state where he's been searching the planet with no luck. Obviously, Kenobi's been living here since the end of the events of Return of the Jedi, or Revenge of the Sith. So we know he's got a lay of the land. He's had a chance to grow his powers, meditate, protect Luke, and all of that stuff. So, the episode, though, I really liked because of not only the music, but of the various quotes that they had, that they said during the episode. So we have, for example, Maul stating that it's back to where it all began. So where Anakin was first found, where he first found Maul, or where he first found Qui-Gon Jinn, and actually fought against Qui-Gon Jinn, and that was about it for that. We have Maul telling Obi-Wan about how he's fallen, but Obi-Wan tells him that it's not, he wasn't reduced down, but risen above his, risen above where he was before and grown, whereas Maul has kept his hatred and jealousy for losing to Obi-Wan to begin with. And then we have Obi-Wan's wise words about protecting life versus taking life. So, basically, Maul is reduced down because of his consumption of take life and that he has nothing. So, I like that as well. And then finally, we have the episode, or the fight concluding with Maul asking if whoever Obi-Wan is protecting is a chosen one, and Obi-Wan confirming that much. So, we have the closure there. So, overall, is it definitely worth it? And we have Obi-Wan going to the Lars homestead to reminisce or ponder about protecting Luke and what other things he needs to do and all of that stuff. So definitely an episode worth watching. If you, granted, you do need, probably need to see a few more episodes to get more of the story between, for the backstory with Ezra and Kanan and all of them, and to see what happens there. And then we're I actually also can't wait to see the season 3 finale, where we're gonna, based on the descriptions alone, we have Thrawn figuring out where the Rebels are in that ensuing battle. So it's gonna be from my understanding, I think it's a 1-hour season finale, so definitely worth watching there. So that's all there is for that. And then the one thing I did forget to mention in the news segment as well is that Star Wars, or Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, is now available for digital purchase. So I bought my copy with the extended features, or with the bonus content, off of Amazon Prime. It's also available on Google Play, and I will assume it's also available in the Apple iTunes Store. So if you want a digital copy, it's already available. And this is also at least in the United States. I'm not sure about the rest of the world. I think the Blu-ray and DVD version is releasing on April 5th, if memory serves. So look out for it then if you want the physical copy. But I've already purchased my digital copy, so I'm going to be watching that and, or rewatching the movie and watching the bonus content as well. But that is all for this particular episode. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or anything like that, you can email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. You can find links, social media links, subscription links, all of that good stuff on the website at PatelN01.com. Video reviews, including the one for Super Mario Run, can be found on YouTube at youtube.com/PatelN01. And of course, if you like this show and want to find more shows on the Geek.io network, be sure to visit geek-io.net. So, but that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.